Good morning. What do you believe about God? Specifically with respect to his character, what do you believe about his nature? And how is it that that belief shapes your life, your thoughts, and your actions? That's something we're going to be exploring in our sermon for today. But otherwise, I'm so glad that you are here joining us in worship, that we get to gather together to celebrate our God and all that he does for us. I might just stand as we begin our service.
My friends, let us begin our worship service the same way we began our lives in Christ, with the words of God, or the word with the name of God spoken over us, as it was in our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the beautiful day that you have given us, Lord. This day that we get to live out in worship of you, Lord. I pray that you would be present here among us today. Speak through your word, Lord. Speak through the word and the songs. Help us, Lord, to grow in faith so that we will be prepared to live out our lives in ways that will bring you glory and honor. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we have in your presence. In your holy name we pray. Amen. As we come into the worship service today, we come in carrying all the sins of the week. We come in carrying our regrets. We come in carrying guilt. And let's deal with that first. Let us receive from God the forgiveness that he has for us. And let's do that by laying all these sins at his feet. And so let us confess our sins to God our Father. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter suffering and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, as we have been forgiven, let us now return praise to the God who has so beautifully and wonderfully planned this salvation for us.
My name is Lars Vallon. I'm one of the elders, and it's my privilege to read our first scripture reading. Our reading is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon text for today is Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put the money to work and gained 5 more bags. And so also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who received five bags of gold brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See, I have gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with two bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering what you have not scattered, where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." All right, children, it is now time for the children's message. If you guys would come forward at this time, Mrs. Armbruster has the message for you today.
Good morning. Are you guys excited?
What are we going to do today?
What are we going to do today? What would you like to do? Should we talk about Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
And a Mickey calf.
Do you guys know what holiday is coming up real soon?
Thanksgiving.
And one of the things that I am very, very thankful for is St. Mark's Lutheran Church. And do you know, you probably do know this, it takes a lot of people with a lot of gifts and talents for God's work to get done. Did you know that? Yeah. So we're going to ask the people out there, the adults, we're going to ask them to help us today a little bit. Do you think they'll do that? Because I want to show you guys something. So this is where you participate. I'm going to ask if you have ever cut the lawn, put up a light bulb, painted a wall, fixed a toilet, built something, cleaned something here at St. Mark's. If you have ever done anything like that, would you stand up?
Yeah.
And some of you, come on, come on. Okay, so let's take a look out there. So these people all have the talent of physical labor. They can do stuff. What do you think, like 30 or 40 people out there?
Yeah.
Something like that? Okay, you can sit down, and I have a question for you. Where did they get that ability or gift to fix stuff?
God.
They got that from God, didn't they? Are they using it to serve God? Yes. How many of you think maybe you have that ability to fix stuff, put stuff together, make good? Okay. I have another one. How many of you have ever made or taken food to someone else who needed it? Because maybe they had a baby, or they were sick, or they were hurting, or they were tired, or they were having a Thanksgiving meal down at Hilltop, or anything like that. If you have ever taken food to someone, made it, or, whoa, look at that. Is that a gift, or an ability, or a talent? All right, you can sit. Where did they get that talent? They got that from God. Are they using it to serve God? Yes. How many of you think you might have that gift? You like to cook stuff, bake stuff, make stuff, share stuff. Good. Got one more. How many of you out there have ever sang up here or worked the microphones or played an instrument so that we could sing together when we come to church? How many of you have ever done that? Would you stand up? Cool. Look at all those people. Okay, well, you can stand up. Did they get that ability from God? Yes. Are they using it to serve God? Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So, one more thing. We have a problem. It's called sin. And I want you to tell me, how many cookies do you have to bake to get rid of your sin?
Zero.
Oh, you can't bake enough cookies to get rid of your sin? No. How many toilets do you have to fix to get rid of your sins?
Zero.
That won't work?
No.
How many songs do you have to sing?
Zero.
Zero.
So if those things don't work, what do we do for our sin problem?
We pray
to who?
Jesus.
Who took care of that sin problem? Nobody out there could stand up if I asked that question.
Jesus.
Jesus did. I love it that you know that like that. Jesus loved us so much that he took all our sins and he suffered and died on the cross and he paid for those sins. And then he rose from the dead to show that he was even more powerful than death. And he's in heaven waiting for us. And we will be with him one day. Until then, guess what? We get to use all those gifts and abilities that he gave us. And there's lots more, like teaching and giving and praying. We get to use all those gifts to serve him and serve God's people. Do you think you can do that? Are you ready to do that? Are you ready? Yeah. All right. Let's pray. You can repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for my talents. And thank you for Jesus. Amen.
So the time was at hand. Specifically, Jesus was swiftly approaching the time of his death. He had already had several altercations between the religious leaders right there after he charged out the money changers and had debates with the religious leaders, building the tension to the point where they said, "We cannot let this man continue to live." So he knows his time is at hand, and here it is that they left the temple, Jesus and his disciples, and the disciples point out all the buildings of the temple. Like, that's important. Look at how pretty they are, Jesus. Aren't they amazing? Look at the architecture. And Jesus said, "You see all these things, do you not? Truly I say to you, there will not be one left upon another. Everything will be thrown down." And disciples are a little confused by this. They get to the Mount of Olives, and disciples come to him privately and say, "Tell us then, Jesus, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And essentially, disciples don't realize, I think, perhaps, that they're asking two, maybe three different questions. But Jesus takes it in turn. He describes the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple. And then he goes on to talk about when he will return. And he says, "Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." And he goes on to describe how it will be in that time when the Son of Man comes. And from there, Matthew chapter 25 begins, "Then, in that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins And Pastor Bob talked about that. And so you get this whole section of kind of a, what should you be doing in the meantime? In other words, what is it that we should be mindful of from when Christ ascends, though he doesn't say it, but that's essentially the time, until he returns, until his second coming, until what the disciples had asked. And last week, Pastor Bob talked about how it is that do what you are supposed to do so that you retain the faith that you have. Don't lose that faith. Don't be like those unwise virgins who didn't prepare appropriately. But continue to be connected to God through prayer, through coming to worship, through reading your Bible. Do not lose the faith, the gift that you have, for that is what is necessary. And then we have our reading for today, where Jesus continues again. It'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents. In our reading for today, it was 5 bags of gold. And I find bags of gold to be a little bit intangible, personally. I hear a bag of gold, like, oh, that sounds great. So I had to look up, because I always need to be reminded, what was the value of a talent? That's what the Greek word is there. And it's about 6,000 denarii. Now, 1 denarius is a day's wage. So right now, I had to look up Missouri, the minimum wage is $12 an hour. So if I worked for $12 an hour for 8 hours in a day, I'd get $96. Now, if you take that times 6,000 working days, that's 576,000 if my math is correct. So imagine you got 1 talent. That'd be $576,000. So someone's going away and they say, hey, I'm going to trust you that. Oh, but to the one who got 2, that would be more like a little over $1 million. Here, do something with that. And to the one that got 5 talents, it'd be more like, well, just under $3 million. Now, imagine all of us might be thinking, man, if somebody gave me that, I could definitely do something significant with it. Or to phrase it in terms of time, if that's helpful. So again, you have, 6,000 working days. If you worked every single day for 6,000 days, that would be over 16 years of work if somebody gave you 1 talent. But if you're a good Jew, you take 1 day off a week. So closer to like 19, almost 20 years of your life. That is the value of 1 talent. And that is what this master has entrusted to 1 servant, and another he gave 2 of those, and to another he gave 5. This is no small thing that is being given and entrusted to these servants. So he who had received 5 talents went at once, traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. $3 million. Faithful over a little. Anyway, so you've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also had 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And so we see in Jesus' description, there's actually very little between the one who received 5 and the one who received 2. It's the same words that are shared. You gave me this, I return it back to you. Go and share in your master's happiness. But then something different happens with the last one. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. In other words, I believe you to be a man who you have put no work in, and yet you demand that you get a return despite investing nothing. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and I gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast out the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And so at first glance, kind of keeping with the idea, the theme of, all right, so we have this kind of in-between time. The time when Jesus ascends, or did ascend rather, and the time where Jesus will return. And it's kind of a, what do we do in the meantime? Well, going with the last parable, again, don't lose the faith that has been given to you. And what are you to do in the meantime? See how it is that God has richly blessed your life? You go and use that for his glory. And I agree with that sentiment entirely. And at the same time, as I was reading this in preparation for today, the thing that struck me the most, actually, was what is it that the servants believed about their master? And how did that play out into what they did? How is it they responded because of that? I mean, think about it. You have someone going away for a time, and what does he do? He entrusts to 3 servants a sizable amount of money. Does this sound like a stingy master? No. No, this is a master who very generously, very trustingly says, I'm going to give to you so that you might go out and do wonderful things. And in truth, as you look at the entirety of Scripture, this is a grand depiction, an appropriate depiction of who God is. Consider at the beginning in Genesis, God created Adam. And then he gives him the charge, be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion over the earth and care for it. From the onset, he said, I desire that those who are made in my image, that man would have a responsibility. And that the earth would be blessed through the works of man. Fast forward to Abram, when God calls Abram to follow him, to leave his home, everything he knows, to go and be a wanderer for a while. And he says, I will bless you richly. And through you, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so once again, you see just the way of operating that God blesses one individual for the purpose of blessing everything else. You fast forward to where the Israelites are there at Mount Sinai, waiting to receive the 10 commandments from God, and there they are, and God says, Moses, tell my people that they are a holy nation, that they are to be a nation of priests. And a priest is one who intercedes to God on behalf of another. And the whole nation is desired, is meant to be that. That again, all the families, the nations, the clans of the earth might know of this God. And that they might go to God on their behalf. And so it's not a new thing that God says, look, you are my servants. I will bless you. And part of the purpose of this blessing is to go out and bless others in this way. And 2 people in the parable do that. Because they see God rightly for the generous God that he is. But one doesn't. He knows, so he says, that this master of his is a hard master, reaping where he did not sow and gathering where he scattered no seed. And in truth, I feel like if we take an assessment, perhaps, of people who do not know God, what they believe about God, Well, if there is some God, he seems to desire me to live a way I don't really want to. Seems to demand things of me that I, without giving me anything, he wants stuff from me. And I don't want to believe in that God. And also often that is the perspective of many individuals. God never did nothing for me, so I'm not doing nothing for God. But I'm curious, as we take an honest look at ourselves and we might say, yes, well, we know God is a generous God. My question is that how your life plays out? For example, I'm going to go with money because it's perhaps one of the most tangible, easiest ways for us to recognize we have received X and we do whatever with those things. Whether it's, you know, we're on a fixed income and we receive that or something else. The reality is that everything that we have is a blessing from our generous God. As was mentioned in the children's message, whether it's the ability to fix something, musical ability, or as well, even the very strength that you have, the intellect that you have, everything. The house that you live in, the money that you worked hard to earn, all of it is a blessing from God. All of it is that you are merely a steward of those things. None of it belongs to you, not really. So what do you do with it? And yet all too often we, in our sin, are tempted to say, this belongs to me, I get to do with it as I please. Without any thought of perhaps what else the one who generously gave to us desires us to do with it. I think if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we're more like that third servant than we'd like to admit. Because we think, well, yes, I know God has given me everything that I need to support this body and life, but, you know, I really need X, Y, and Z, and I need to spend my money in this way because this is exactly how things need to be. I can't really give and support that person in need because I'm also in need. And if I give to support that person, then I'll have nothing. And God doesn't want me to have nothing, right? And the same can be true of any of the blessings that God gives us, not just our money, but our time. Everyone in this room has the same finite amount of time in a given day, 24 hours. Yet do you view it as the gift that God has given to you and use it in accordance with that? Or do you see it as, well, this is my time and I'll do with it as I please? Same with your intellect, same with your strength. Everything that you have is a gift to you. Everything could be lost like that. But again, the beautiful thing, the wonderful thing, is who is your God? As I said at the very beginning of the service, what is his character? What is his nature? Is he a hard God trying to reap from you what he did not sow into you? Or is he a generous God? Is he one who has given you so much in abundance with the intent that you might go out and be a blessing to others? For as Peter picks up, you are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God for his own possession. God has given to you that you might go out and do the work of the kingdom that he is delighted to give you to do. So my encouragement for you this day is remember that you have a generous God. That despite times being difficult, inflation being, I don't even want to go there, God is still with you, still providing for you. and calls you, come and follow me. See the work that I have put before you to do. Use the gifts that I have given you that you might proclaim the truth of God and that the world might know of the one that you serve. Amen.
Friends, let's please stand as we confess our faith using the second, the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed. We confess together. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord, a day that we get to live out to your glory and in your honor. And today, Lord, and this morning, especially, Lord, in your presence, in the presence of your word and your sacraments, Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us as we serve you today. Lord, this day we're going to have the 6th and 7th and 8th graders. We're going to have some First Communion kids today that are going to be able to partake in this Holy Supper for the first time. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of them as they grow in their faith, Lord. Lord, grow them in their faith, grow their families in their faith, Lord, so that they can continue to grow together as a Christian community, lifting and upholding each other, Lord, in the most important thing in their faith, and that they may be confident, Lord, of the eternal life that you have earned for them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of our families, Lord, as we move forward in you. Lord, I pray that you would lead us, that you would guide our decisions, that you would help us to be thinking of your truth, Lord, and your goals for our family, Lord, that your desires for each and every one of us, Lord, so that in everything we do, we grow closer to you. Lord, I pray that you would be with our school. Lord, there's so much going on in the school all the time, Lord. So many children, so many teachers, so many families. Lord, I pray that you would shower your blessings upon all of those people, Lord, especially your mercy and grace and the forgiveness of sins that we so desperately need. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to help each other to grow in their faith so that we may have that confidence, Lord, that only you can give. Lord, I pray for those who are sick among us today, Lord, those who are struggling, those who are under some burden of life. I pray that you would continue to walk with us, Lord, as you have promised to do in all circumstances, that we are never alone, but you are always with us, giving us the strength that we need, Lord, to live out our lives in your glory, and that you provide for us all good things. Lord, I pray that you would that you would, Lord, be with little Ava today, Lord. After the service, little Ava is going to be baptized, and I pray that you would continue to be with her. Bless that baptism, Lord. Give her faith. Help her, Lord, and her parents, Lord, as they continue to grow in that faith so that they may all have a lifelong growing relationship with you and find their confidence and peace in the knowledge of your provision. Lord, you are so good to us. You provide for us in so many ways. And Lord, we want to come to you, Lord, with a prayer of thanksgiving, thanking you, Lord, for all of the ways that you have blessed us, Lord, everything from our faith to our salvation, Lord, to every single thing we need to be able to enjoy the life that you have given us. All this, Lord, we bring to you this morning, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Please be seated at this time. All right, today is a special day. It is First Communion, and that means that the 6th graders and then 7th and 8th graders who haven't yet celebrated their First Communion are going to be doing so today. Now, what that means is this. They've been taken aside and trained. God tells us in Matthew that this meal was given to us, that this body was given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins, and that in this meal, the forgiveness of sins is received. And so it is a really special meal that God gives us to bless us. But In addition to that, God gives us some warnings. In First Corinthians chapter 11, he tells us that if we eat and drink without acknowledging the body of the Lord, we eat and drink judgment on ourselves. And that if we eat unworthily, we sin against the body and blood of the Lord. And these are things we would like to avoid. And so we prepare. We prepare the kids so that they are able to, as we are told in 1 Corinthians, every person is supposed to examine themselves. But that doesn't work unless they know how to examine themselves. And so we have a class where they are taught to do so. The examination is the same questions that we put on the screen every week. And if you don't see it on the screen yet, because it's not to that point, I'm not telling you to change, is if you look in the very middle of your bulletin where the staples are, guess what's printed right there? The same questions, right? So that even like at the very beginning, when you first sit down and you're waiting for the service to begin, you can use even that time to examine yourselves to make sure that you are ready to receive this meal that we enjoy at just about every service that we have here at St. Mark's. And so with that, I'd like to invite the kids forward. Now I'm going to do it a little specially. We have a lot of kids, and they're going to come forward with their families, and so we want to make sure they have room to gather around the rail, so we're going to do it like this. If Anna Burke's family, Logan Brennan's family, Delenka Clement's family, and Jacob Lockwood's family, and Catherine Mueller's family, if you guys would come forward at this time to receive the Lord's Supper.
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. the Lamb who would save. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who would slay. Worthy, worthy, worthy is His amazing grace. This is a failing love.
For you are holy.
My dear friends, it's the highest point in the worship service is where we receive the body and blood of our Lord and the life and forgiveness that he gives us in this gift. But it's such an amazing thing. What I love about the church is the passing of the faith on to the next generation. And is it just me? Are the kids getting cuter, or am I just getting older and more smushy? I don't know. The thing, they're adorable. Anyway, they're all sitting up here during the children's message and the you know, being in the school every day and having the children all around and watching them as they grow in their faith and grow in their bodies. And then now of the First Communion kids, the big kids that are coming up. And I know I'm 53. That just seems like, anyway, it doesn't matter. The thing is that they just watching them as they continue to grow into their faith and to grow into the word that God has left for us in this. It's an amazing blessing to watch. And so we're walking into this season of Thanksgiving, and I just want to tell you this, a big one for me is that our church is a church of the next generation, a church that is raising the next generation in the faith and cherishes them and loves them and sacrifices for them and does it all with a smile on our face, because it is our honor, our privilege, a privilege to do that. And so as we go our way today, and as we have received his body and blood, depart in his peace, knowing that the Lord is good. He has done all that he said he will do, including deliver to us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation by faith in this meal. Depart in his peace. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing as you go your way, because you're about to head back out into the world again. And you remember the place? It's a little dangerous. It's distracting. It's corrosive. It'll mess with you. It'll distract you from Jesus. It'll get your eyes off of Christ if you let it. But don't let it. And remember that because it's so hard, God does not expect you to do it alone. He goes with you. And so as he goes with you today, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up and sing the final song of praise as we go our way today.
He lives.
My friends, please be seated for a brief moment here. First of all, we're having our family meeting today immediately after this. Well, it should be 11 o'clock. I need just a little time because there's a baptism right after the service today. But if anybody is going to be coming to the meeting and needs your kids to go off to Sunday school, this is the time. You can send them back to the lobby and they will whisk them away and teach them about Jesus in your absence. It'll be an amazing thing. All right, with that, also, yeah, do stick around for the family meeting if you at all possibly can. This is the family of God. This is the business. I think a lot of times people think in terms of church, like I'm going to go to church. You can't just go to church. You are the church. You understand that? I mean, when we talk about St. Mark's, we're talking about all y'all. You are the church. And so if we try to do the family business of the church without the church, it's a little awkward. So stick around for the family meeting if you possibly can, because it's a big part of being a part of this whole congregation here. Also, let's see here. There is a don't forget the Thanksgiving service is coming up on Wednesday, November 22nd. It's the Thanksgiving Eve service. We know that families like to be together on Thanksgiving Day, so we have our service before then. Please come, bring your families if they're in town. It'll be great. And then the little ones are having for Thanksgiving fun is Santa's Magical Kingdom for School Fundraiser is November 27th to 29th. Connection Center has a flyer. You can read about it there. I don't have any more information than that on my paper here. With that, the other thing is that Denise is going to talk. She was giving me eyes. I was not forgetting. All right. Very good.
Good morning. Okay, so I am so excited. I get to talk to you guys today. Next week when you come in here, you're going to have a bulletin, and on the inside, you're going to see a sheet like this, because this year, for the first time, St. Mark's is going to be a part of the Giving Tuesday. Have you heard of that? Yeah. So you have Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Now we have Giving Tuesday. So this is going to be donations that will benefit the people that we serve and love and support through Cornerstone Ministry. So if you don't know what Cornerstone Ministry is yet, I need to let you know that. So here's the definition, and it's going to be on this page. It's based on Acts 4:11. Jesus was the stone rejected by the builders. Right? And so we are a cornerstone in this community. We represent Jesus. And this sheet says, as a cornerstone in the Eureka area since 1948, St. Mark's Lutheran Church continues to serve our neighbors in crisis and provide support with basic needs such as utility assistance, groceries, holiday giving, community disaster relief, and much more. So we are not a flood relief ministry anymore. We are not just a benevolence fund. It's all of this rolled into one thing. So it's called Cornerstone Ministry. It's still under St. Mark's, of course. So I wanted to explain that to you and let you know that you'll see that. And if you want to participate, then we would be very grateful. Okay, the Christmas tree. I know it got up early, but that's because we want to get things out to people early so that they know they have things for their children. And I want to let you know who benefits from this tree, because it's so fun and it's so important. So we cannot give people enough things to pull them out of poverty. Some of the folks we serve are low income, or they're veterans, they're elderly, all different kinds of walks of life. And there's nothing we can do to make them rich financially, but we can make them rich spiritually. And because we get to go and see them and talk to them and pray with them, it is possible. God will bring them out of spiritual poverty. And that's our goal at Cornerstone. That's our goal at St. Mark's. So some of the people we serve, they're church members here. There's neighboring communities, veterans, elderly on a fixed income who are greatly impacted by the 50% inflation we're seeing at the grocery store, right? These are hardworking families, people who are making ends meet, but when we're living in a time like this, it's hard, and especially when Christmas comes or a special time of the year. So this year, we're joining with some ministry partners, and this is what I want to tell you about. My Life Resource Center, the Blind Ministry, Ronald McDonald House, Piece by Piece out in High Ridge, All of these folks have been very, very willing to work with us to provide help for the people they serve. So some of those toys will go to Piece by Piece. The baskets with all the laundry goods, that will go to Ronald McDonald House. We have all these great groups that we get to partner with, so it's very exciting. So how can you help? This is a beautiful church, a place to come and worship, nice cushy seats. When you get up and leave, that's not the end. So how do you worship God from Monday through Saturday? Love God, love others. That's what we're called to do. You can return your unwrapped gifts by December 3rd and be on time with a little tag on it. That'd be awesome. You can bring other new items that you have at home, like blankets, toys. I don't care, anything. We will give it away for sure. You can help deliver to ministry partners if you're interested in taking some of these things on Monday, December 4th or sometime that week and dropping them off. We could use help with that. Come see me if you want to do any of these things. You can shop for things that will still be needed and see me on December 4th. Let's find out what didn't come in, and we'll fill in the gaps. You can bring gas and grocery cards. You can give a cash donation through the giving or Giving Tuesday, or just give a check to St. Mark's with Cornerstone in the memo line. Again, it all goes to St. Mark's. Cornerstone is under the umbrella. You can do anything. I mean, just find out what's going on around you. Ask people around you how they're doing. Are they in need? Come and let me know if there's ways that we can help and other things we can do. So I love that Pastor Josh's sermon today was on the talents. So bring your talents. I'll take your coins. I'll take your time. I'll take your gifts. Like, whatever you have to give, let's pull together and go out and serve the community. Thanks.
And folks, it's a beautiful thing, because like she said, you know, I mean, summary of the commandments is, right, love God, love your neighbor. It's in the book, right? And it's the love that God has given us, you know, that we have received this incredible, overwhelming love from God, and we want to share that love with the people around us. It is the mission God gave us, so let's do it together. The one other thing you can do for people that she forgot to mention is pray. Pray for them. These are people who are struggling. They've got all kinds of things going on in their lives. People don't end up in poverty for no reason. There's stuff going on. We don't know what it all is, but you know the beautiful thing about prayer? You don't have to know, because you're talking to the God who knows everything and has all the answers. And so let's pray to him for all these people that we are serving and helping, that God would continue to be with them and bring them closer to health and closer to him, and to just especially grow them in their faith. With that, my friends, it is time to go, but not very far, because 11 o'clock is the meeting, right? Very good. With that, God's blessings on your week, my friends. We'll be around. Josh will be around, or Pastor Josh will be around to greet you after the service. I've got to go do a baptism real quick, all right? God's blessings, folks.